What must I do to inherit eternal life? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine light to shine upon this truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today we shall be in a tenth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to read to you a very famous story, the story of a rich young ruler. It begins with verse 17 of this chapter. And when he, that is Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus says unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, my friend, on the first sight, this man, this young man, seems to be commendable. Anytime somebody comes running to Jesus, that is good. There were not many people running to Jesus in the gospel days. A few did. The multitude did coming, running occasionally, but they never came running to Jesus to be saved, or with the question, What shall I do to have eternal life? They always came to see another miracle. It is unfortunate that most of the running that goes on in our religious world today is still a running for miracles. And there's not enough running amongst us to come to Jesus, to find life and to follow him. So we have the running multitudes. We have the running of the women and the apostles at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here we have the running of a man who wanted to get saved. Our first impression of this man is commendable because of his running to get eternal life. Secondly, it is commendable because of him kneeling at Jesus' feet. This tells us that the man was desperate, that he was humble, that he was looking for the mercy of God, that he was applying for discipleship. It looks like he was a man who wanted to be taught of Jesus. He did not come like the Pharisees, came to Jesus with a contentious spirit, seeking to find fault with our master, seeking to argue with him. He came the way all humankind should come to Jesus. I cannot help but think that Jesus loved him just for the way he came. And I cannot help but think that Jesus loved him for the question that he brought with him. Indeed, it tells us in our text that Jesus loved him. Oh, I like this running to Jesus to get saved. The brightest moments of my life have been when people came to my door saying, Pastor, I want to be saved. I wish to God that would happen more in the days to come. May it be so. So then, here is his address. Here is his question to Jesus. I want you to know that this is not a question he made up at the moment, but this is a question that he had in his heart for a long time. And he took the question on the run with him on that particular day. Good master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, I love this question, don't you? I love the earnestness of this young man, don't you? If he did nothing else but ask the right question, he did the world a lot of good. Now, observe how Jesus answered this question. He didn't answer it in a traditional way, such as, Believe in me, and you shall be saved. No, this man's first problem was that there was something between him and God. You see, God gave the Ten Commandments, and so what Jesus did first, he wanted this young man to measure himself against the Ten Commandments so he could see his relationship to God. Then Jesus would take him from there. Because if you don't have a heart for the Ten Commandments, that is for obedience, for holiness, then you cannot get eternal life. It is not that the Ten Commandments will save you, but how you relate to the Ten Commandments, whether it is with disdain or whether it is with appreciation, whether it is with submission to the righteousness of God, that is brought to us through the Ten Commandments. That makes all the difference whether you'll find your way to salvation or not. For no man can ever get a sound conversion unless that man is also interested in righteousness. Millions of people have come to our altars in America seeking salvation from hell without seeking righteousness. And all those who've done it were born by Caesarean birth, that is, they were not born of the Spirit, but of men meddling in the affairs of the Spirit of God. So then the question is, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus answered, verse 19, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." Indeed, some of you might not like the Ten Commandments, but Jesus does. Again, you can't get a genuine spiritual birth unless you're willing to stop adultery, unless you're willing to stop killing, unless you're willing to stop stealing, unless you're willing to stop lying and cheating, unless you're willing to honor your father and your mother. When you're born again, you are going to have to face up to these moral laws and clean up your act. Today's popular gospel is come as you are, and you can stay as you are, for all your righteousness is in Jesus. My friend, there is a need for a yes here, but there's also a need for a no here. Come as you are, yes, but don't continue as you are. Clean up and become holy. But it also says, "But without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." Now then, notice that Jesus did not quote all the Ten Commandments to the young man. He didn't even quote them in the Exodus order. First he quoted the seventh, then the sixth, then the eighth, then the ninth, and then the fifth. But he left out the first, the second, the third, the fourth, and the tenth. The Ten Commandments can be classified into two segments. The first four deal with man's relationship with God, and the next six deal with man's relationship with man. Notice that the commandments Jesus gave to the young man first were those relating to his relationship with man and not to his relationship with God. Jesus, knowing the heart of this man, gave the young man the commandments that he kept from his youth. He didn't quarrel with him when the young man said, "These have I kept from my youth." Yes, now let's look at these five commandments Jesus gave him. And you can see, as a whole, that people who keep these five commandments make good citizens in the kingdom of man. They're honest people, they're moral people, they're good neighbors, they're good taxpayers, they're good parents. I believe there are many good people in the world in our churches. And the problem is because they keep a good relationship with their fellow men that therefore they think they're saved. And so that's what we get at the funerals. The preacher in most every case when it comes to the funeral service says, "Well, this was a good man. He never hurt anybody. He was a good father. He was a good neighbor. He was a good citizen. Therefore, he's going to heaven." Well, all the congregation nods in sort of an agreement. But my friend, what Jesus does here is to tell the church universal that us, our being good one to another, does not save us. A good relationship with man does not save us. We must also have a good relationship, a right relationship with God, and that takes the cross. But I want you to know, by the rich young ruler, even though he had kept all these five commandments from his youth, he knew in his heart that he was not saved. Oh, I wish that all the unsaved would know so also that they are not saved. So we come to verse 21. It says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Would you say, in Jesus' response here, that he is now calling this young man to a right relationship with God? And that takes forsaking all. It takes taking up the cross. Jesus said there is something, young man, between you and God, and that is the love of money. And that has to go, that has to be crucified before you can have eternal life. You are breaking the first commandment, which is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and your wealth and your money has been a god to you. And you also, young man, have broken the 10th commandment, which is, thou shalt not covet. And you covet the things of the earth more than the things of heaven. Now, what I want you to do for you to have everlasting life is, I want you to sell everything that you have. And I mean everything. It says sell all you have. That means your table, your chairs, your curtains, your dresses, your house, your lands, your donkey. Give that money to the poor and take up the cross and follow me. And then you're going to have life everlasting. And I'll tell every one of you out there, whether you're a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or an usher or an unbeliever, if you have not done all of this, you are not Jesus' disciple and you are not saved. So, well, the young man who came running to Jesus left, and he left slowly. He left in great agony. He found his heart torn between loving God and loving the world, and he chose to love the world, for he had great possessions. When Jesus asked him to take up the cross, he refused. My friend, every love that stands between you and God, Jesus said, must be crucified, or you cannot be his disciple or his follower, nor can you inherit everlasting life. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this precious word of God. We thank thee that you're answering the question that is on the minds and hearts of millions of people all over the world. What must I do to be saved? And here, Jesus, you told us, first of all, to look at the Ten Commandments, that we might see our transgressions, that we might see that you demand holiness, holiness of heart, holiness in our thought life, holiness in our actions and reactions, holiness in our walk. We thank you, Lord, for making it so clear to this young man. You ask us to forsake all that our heart is attached to in reference to the things of this world, to love you only and supremely, and to let you be the Lord of our lives, that we might follow you every day as we take up the cross of self-denial. Thank you for answering the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Tune in again next week at the same station. Goodbye now, until then.